Good evening and welcome to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. And for those who are listening in for the first time, my name is Sonia Jewell and I'm a natural therapeutic specialist and massage therapist at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center right here in Ely. I have been a health practitioner for 19 years and it is my pleasure to be with you every Wednesday evening during this hour to talk about various health topics, nutrition, and safe and natural alternatives, as well as healthier lifestyle choices. I welcome your input and feedback about this show and encourage you to contact me personally or the radio station should you have any specific questions, comments, or suggestions regarding this show. I was asked by some of my listeners to address today's topic, which is on grains. A lot of people are confused about grains, and it is really no wonder because there are so many conflicting reports, and some health professionals stress that grains are good for you, while others proclaim that they should be avoided. And both sides have reasons and convincing arguments. And one of the issues has to do with the difference between whole grains and refined grains. Also, whole grains are catching on and people are eating more. Only 15% of grain products eaten are whole grains and 85% are still refined. So first of all, let's look at the difference between whole and refined. Now, whole grains include all three parts of the seed or kernel, and the three parts being bran, germ, and endosperm. And the bran is the outer layer that contains most of the fiber as well as some B vitamins and antioxidants. And those actually protect the nutrients from breaking down too quickly. And the germ is the inner nugget, the nutrient-rich part that is full of good fats and minerals and B vitamins, vitamin E, and some protein. And the endosperm contains starchy carbohydrates, proteins, and tiny amounts of nutrients. Now, after a grain is refined, typically only the starchy endosperm is left. And most of the fiber, in fact, 85% of it, and most important nutrients are stripped away. Now, most B vitamins, as well as vitamin E, are lost up to 80%, and the same being true for most important minerals like iron, magnesium, potassium, zinc, as well as essential fatty acids, which is 75% lost. So when grains are refined, most natural nutrients are removed with the bran and germ. And then a few synthetic chemical vitamins and minerals are added to enrich or fortify the products. And not only does this not put back all that is lost, but what is put back is not really real food. It is still nutritionally stripped. And in order to improve the bland taste, refined sweeteners are often added on top of chemical additives for shelf life. And items like this are not real food. They are industrial non-food substances designed to pass through our bodies. I always stress to my clients to make an effort and start reading labels. Always look for whole or whole grain before the grain's name. Now, rolled and quick oats are called whole because they retain their bran and germ, but they're actually pre-cooked. In fact, they're steamed and then rolled. And then you cook them again, causing more nutrient loss than if you use steel-cut or whole groats. Now, semolina, used for pasta, is refined from hard durum wheat, which has more protein and less starch than soft wheat. And couscous is made from refined semolina. Bran is not a whole grain, neither is wheat germ. They are only parts. And once separated from the whole grain, wheat germ becomes rancid very fast. Wheat germ products are usually toasted and supposedly to preserve freshness, but they still become rancid very quickly. Unless whole grains make up all the grain content, you may get only a small part of whole and a lot of refined. Ingredients are always listed in descending order by weight, so if a whole grain doesn't appear at the top of the grain list, it is not a whole grain food. If a label says 100% whole grain, you have got the true whole grain product. And there's also another glitch. The food industry uses high-speed steel roller mills because grinding stones are not fast enough for mass production. So, for example, if whole wheat flour is being produced, the high temperatures produced, which are up to 400 degrees Fahrenheit, destroy vital nutrients and create rancid oils in the bran and germ. And vitamin E complex is just one of the nutrients destroyed. And the extrusion process used to make cold cereals and puffed grains also uses high temperatures and high pressure that alter grain components and destroy nutrients. Now, unmilled, meaning whole grains that are not ground up, last longer before spoiling and are nutritionally better than ground up whole grains. Grinding begins the spoiling process and value loss. Unless the ground grain is absolutely fresh, you can't be sure how many nutrients it has lost or how rancid it is. So it would be best to grind your own or buy ground grains in airtight packages and not in bulk. Also, brown rice, for example, contains oil and lipase, which is an enzyme that breaks down fats. And when the uneatable outer husk is removed, the enzyme starts to break down the oil. And soon, the oil becomes rancid. And to slow down the rancidity process considerably, you should get rice in small sealed packages. And once you open it, you should store the remainder in an airtight jar in the refrigerator. Now, studies show that fresh brown rice and rice bran protect against ulcers, but after being stored and becoming rancid, they can actually cause ulcers and other intestinal problems. But on the other hand, stabilized rice bran with the lipase removed for supplements retains its beneficial qualities without becoming rancid. So now let's take a short break with some music, and today's feature CD is by John Adorney, and the CD is called Beckoning. And when I come back, I will continue with the topic of grains. Thank you. And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. We have been talking about the difference between whole grains and refined grains. So it is very important to consume whole grains in its whole form with the bran, germ, and endosperm intact in order to get the many beneficial nutrients. Also, it is important to eat a large variety of grains other than wheat products. And there are a variety of grains and grain products on the market nowadays, and I will briefly explain what some of them are and how they differ in nutritional value. So let's start with barley. And barley has nutrients that can actually lower cholesterol levels and help balance blood sugar and reduce high blood pressure because of its content of beta-glucan. And it also contains low levels of gluten. And hulled barley retains the bran, so it is especially nutritious. Now, purling, on the other hand, is refining that removes the bran, essential amino acids, as well as the bran. And barley is especially good in soups and stews, pilafs, casseroles, and salads. Now, let's talk briefly about oats. And oats are also a good source of beta-glucan, among other whole food factors that reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease, lower cholesterol, control blood sugar, and so forth. Oats contain hundreds of antioxidants. And oat groats are whole oat kernels. So steel cut, which are Irish or Scotch oats, are sliced groats. And whereas rolled oats are steamed and rolled flat. And quick cooking oats are sliced rolled oats. And instant are pre-cooked and dried. So definitely always choose whole groats or steel cut oats for the best nutrition. As far as brown rice offers B vitamins and many other nutrients as well as minerals. A half cup of cooked brown rice gives you 44% of the daily value for manganese plus some essential fatty acids. And manganese is important for nervous system function and energy production, musculoskeletal integrity, and the action of numerous enzymes. Brown rice also feeds the skin, improves insulin sensitivity, and helps prevent liver problems and cancer, treats diarrhea, improves blood pressure, and helps arthritis, amongst many other health benefits. So brown rice is very nutritious. Now, a lot of people are not familiar with buckwheat, and buckwheat is actually not related to wheat, and it is not a true grain, but it is actually the seed of an herb that belongs to the same family as rhubarb. And it contains many important nutrients. Now, kasha is toasted buckwheat groats, and soba is buckwheat noodles. Buckwheat has a high content of cancer-preventing compounds. Now, amaranth is a native of South America and was a staple of the Aztecs and is not a true grain but the seed of a plant. And the whole plant is very nutritious. It contains a lot of fiber and has a high concentration of lysin, which is an amino acid that is needed to boost calcium absorption. And amaranth seeds add a slightly nutty taste to home-baked muffins, cookies, and bread. Cooked amaranth also makes a nice breakfast cereal. Now let's talk briefly about millet. And millet is a staple food for millions in Africa and northern China. It is protein-rich but contains very little lysin, and it has more copper, iron, and vitamin B3 than whole wheat, corn, or brown rice. It also provides calcium, magnesium, potassium, and phosphorus. And it is higher in protein and iron than most other grains. It is easily digestible and is considered one of the least allergenic of grains. And millet is also very high in silica, which helps keep bones flexible as we age. And millet makes a tasty addition to casseroles and bread, stews, or salads. Also, you could try it as a cooked breakfast cereal with pure maple syrup drizzled on top, and it tastes really wonderful. Now, one of my very favorite grains is quinoa, and it is highly nutritious, gluten-free, protein-rich, and not actually a true grain. It is distantly related to spinach, and it originated in South America long time ago. It contains all 9 essential amino acids and is higher in unsaturated fats than most grains and contains a wealth of minerals. Its balance of amino acids is the closest of any grain to the pattern usable by the human body. And I will talk more in detail about it as I will be featuring this particular grain as the food of the week. Now, kamut is a strain of wheat which was originally cultivated in Egypt, and it is very digestible and rich in protein. And some people with wheat sensitivities may be able to tolerate kamut. And you can use kamut in baked goods and cereals or trail mixes. Now, spelt is an ancient European grain, and it is high in gluten and higher in balanced amino acids and fats and crude fiber than common wheat. And spelt is easier to digest than most grains, and actually some wheat-sensitive people can tolerate spelt. Now, teff, a lot of people probably have never heard about teff, but teff is a tiny white, brown, or red grain that packs protein, potassium, iron, and B vitamins. Now, teff is originally a staple food from Ethiopia and is the smallest grain in the world and a concentrated powerhouse of nutrients. Teff is known to fuel the body with higher levels of protein and carbohydrates, calcium and iron than whole wheat. It is excellent for porridge and flatbreads, muffins, waffles, and cookies. So I encourage you to explore all these different grains and incorporate them into your diet in whole form as much as possible to take advantage of the many nutritional diversities. And now it's time to take another short break with my music from today's feature CD by John Adorney, and the CD is titled Beckoning. And when I come back, I will be back with more information for you. welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Our topic today is grains, and I explained in great detail why it is important to consume them in whole form rather than in a refined state as much as possible in order to get the many valuable nutrients from them. And I mentioned some of the other grains that many people seem to be unfamiliar with. However, they should be consumed more often in order to take advantage of the many nutrients they contain. However, intolerances to wheat and other grains are on the increase. And I notice this a lot in my nutritional practice when clients come in for health assessments. And sometimes the health problems they're struggling with are due to an underlying problem of food sensitivities. And one factor for the increasing intolerance and sensitivities to wheat and other grains may be the use of toxic pesticides and herbicides. Now, during the time just preceding the great increase in gluten intolerance, there was an almost 100% practice of treating nearly ripe wheat crops with an unhealthy dose of Roundup herbicide during the final ripening period. And the farmers use such herbicides to basically brown out the unripe or green kernels so they don't get docked by the big grain brokers and mills. Also, the farming practices changed, and we used to eat most of our grains in partially germinated form. Now, grains standing in sheaves and stacks in open fields often begin to sprout before it was brought into storage. And during this period of weathering in the field, the grain seeds were exposed to rain and dew, which soaked into the sheaves. And the grain could pick up this moisture, and with the heat from the sun, conditions were ideal for favoring a degree of germination and enzyme multiplication in the grain. And modern farming techniques prevent grains from germinating before they reach our tables. The modern combine harvester removes the grain from the stalk immediately after cutting and permits it to be hauled away to the granary. So there is no weathering and consequent enzyme development, which results in a mature but a dormant seed. The process of germination not only produces vitamin C, but also changes the composition of grain and seeds in numerous beneficial ways. Germination or sprouting increases B vitamin content, especially B2, B5, and B6, and antioxidants increase eightfold. But more importantly, sprouting neutralizes phytic acid, which is a substance that is present in the bran of all grains that inhibits the absorption of calcium, magnesium, iron, copper, and zinc. And sprouting also neutralizes enzyme inhibitors that are present in all seeds. And these inhibitors can neutralize our own precious enzymes in the digestive tract. Also, complex sugars responsible for intestinal gas are broken down during sprouting. And sprouting also inactivates potent carcinogens that are found in grains. And finally, numerous enzymes that help digestion are produced during the germination process. Sprouting increases enzyme activity by as much as 6 times. Now, our ancestors and virtually all primitive cultures soaked and fermented their grains, even in the form of flour, before making the grains into porridge and breads, cakes, and casseroles. For example, Europeans made slow rice breads from fermented starters. And in America, the pioneers were famous for the sourdough breads and pancakes and biscuits. And throughout Europe, grains were soaked overnight and for as long as several days in water or soured milk before they were actually cooked and served as porridge and gruel. In fact, many of our senior citizens may remember that in earlier times, the instructions on the oatmeal box called for an overnight soaking. Well, it's time for another break with more music, and when I come back, I will talk more in detail about the sprouting and germination process that can be performed right in your kitchen to unlock all these important nutrients. ¶¶ And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. And cultures throughout the world have long traditions for preparing all grains for human consumption and to unlock beneficial nutrients by soaking and sprouting or germination, fermenting and souring. And these practices accord very well with what modern science has discovered about grains. Like I mentioned earlier, all grains contain phytic acid in the outer layer of the bran. And phytic acid is actually an organic acid in which phosphorus is bound. And untreated phytic acid can combine with calcium and magnesium, copper, iron, and especially zinc in the intestinal tract and block their absorption. And this is why a diet high in unfermented whole grains may lead to serious mineral deficiencies and bone loss. So soaking allows enzymes and other helpful organisms to break down and neutralize phytic acid. And as little as 7 hours of soaking in warm acidified water will neutralize a large portion of phytic acid in grains. And the simple practice of soaking cereal grains overnight will vastly improve the nutritional benefits. And soaking in warm water also neutralizes enzyme inhibitors, which are present in all seeds and encourages the production of numerous beneficial enzymes. And the action of these enzymes also increases the amounts of many vitamins, especially B vitamins. And scientists have learned that the proteins in grains, especially gluten, are very difficult to digest. A diet high in unfermented whole grains, particularly high gluten grains like wheat, puts an enormous strain on the whole digestive tract. And when this digestive mechanism breaks down with age or overuse, this results in allergies and celiac disease, mental illness, chronic indigestion, and candida. And during the process of soaking and fermenting, gluten and other difficult-to-digest proteins are partially broken down into simpler components that are more readily available for absorption. So to prepare oatmeal the right and nutritious way would mean a person should soak the steel-cut oats, which would be best, or the oat groats, in warm filtered water overnight. And then you add like 2 tablespoons of yogurt or buttermilk or kefir. And for those with severe milk allergies, you can also use lemon juice or vinegar instead. And the next morning, the oatmeal will cook up in less than 5 minutes, which makes it truly a fast food. So all you do is you bring water to a boil, and then you add a little bit of sea salt. And you add the soaked oats, and you reduce the heat, and you cover it and simmer it for several minutes. And it would also be a good idea to add a few tablespoons of ground flaxseed. And it should be served with plenty of butter or cream and a natural sweetener like raw honey, maple syrup, or cinnamon. And as a variation, other grains can be used and prepared the same way, such as kamut or spelt, rye, teff, or amaranth. And so most grains are seeds, and they have a built-in protection system to keep nutrients in and prevent premature germination. And most of the nutrients are chemically locked up in the seeds and are released only when the grain is fermented and soaked. So fermentation breaks down complex substances by the action of enzymes produced by yeast, bacteria, or other microorganisms. It basically unlocks and opens nutrient availability. So soaking begins the sprouting process, and this begins fermentation, which releases and sends out the nourishment. Fermentation is best when long and natural. So let's take another short break with music, and when I come back, I will explain why sourdough bread is better and healthier than yeast bread. Thank you. Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. We have been talking about the process of germination, sprouting, or fermentation, which is important when it comes to grains to make them easier on the digestive tract. And this process also unlocks important nutrients. So for example, real sourdough bread is better than yeast bread. And the sourdough yields a lot more nutrition because it ferments naturally and longer. It is made from a starter of fermented dough or set aside to naturally ferment before being baked. Now, special bacteria in the air produce the slightly sour-tasting lactic acids in the flour. Now, yeast bread is made faster by using prepared yeast for some fermentation, which degrades only a little of the mineral binding agent in grains called phytate or phytic acid. But the sourdough method dissolves up to 70% of the phytic acid and also releases a lot of dissolved minerals into the bread. So a long fermentation means better digestion. Now, researchers are finding out that soaking whole grains is extremely beneficial, increasing digestibility and nutrients. Now, Japanese scientists, for example, found that rice soaked for 22 hours before being cooked contains substantially more vitamins, minerals, fiber, and other nutrients than non-soaked rice. Soaking basically starts the germination process, which neutralizes nutrient inhibitors like phytate, so a flood of nutrients are released, which would have fed the growing plant. Now, soaked rice is easier to cook and also tastes sweeter. Sprouted grains contain lots of biologically active nutrients. So eat whole grain sourdough or sprouted grain breads. Also, soak grains before cooking. And for rice and large grain, up to 24 hours. And for smaller grains, 2 to 8 hours. And what you do is you always soak the desired amount of grain in an equal amount of water, to which you add 1 tablespoon of raw vinegar or fresh lemon juice or plain yogurt. And if you're cooking a fairly large amount of grain, you add about 2 to 3 tablespoons. And then you cover it and you let it sit at room temperature for at least 7 hours, but preferably much longer. And when the grain is ready to cook, you add the remaining required amount of water or stock and cook it. And to soak whole grain flours or pancake mixes, housewives of old knew that the most delicious pancakes and muffins and cakes could be made by soaking flour in sour or cultured milk, buttermilk, or cream. And for those who are allergic to milk products, you can actually use water to which a small amount of whey or yogurt or even vinegar or lemon juice has been added. Also, the results will be less satisfactory. And flour products should be soaked at room temperature for at least 12 hours, but better results may be obtained with the 24-hour soaking. And because they are acidic, buttermilk, cultured milk, yogurt, as well as vinegar and lemon juice, activate an enzyme that breaks down phytic acid in the bran of grains. Sour milk products also provide lactic acid and lactobacilli that can actually help break down complex starches and irritating tannins and difficult to digest proteins. Soaking increases vitamin content and makes all the nutrients in grains more available. If you do a lot of baking, a home grain grinder is a must. Grains quickly go rancid after grinding, and optimum health benefits are obtained from freshly ground flour. Now, for raw beans and lentils, you would follow the same process, but you actually would discard the soaking water. Now, for raw nuts and seeds, what you do is you place the nuts or seeds in a bowl, and you cover them with water, and then you add 1 tablespoon of sea salt. And you cover them and you leave them at room temperature for about 6 to 8 hours. And then you drain the water and you place the nuts on a cookie sheet and you dry them on low heat in the oven. Now, if you happen to have a gas oven, that just the pilot light will be sufficient. Otherwise, if you have an electric oven, I think the temperature should not exceed 150 degrees. And you can also air dry the nuts on a towel, but it takes much longer to dry them this way. Now, we have an excellent book available at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center, and this book basically outlines this procedure, and the book also has a variety of great recipes in it. And one of the books is called The Maker's Diet, and is a must-read for anybody who is interested in improving their health through good nutrition. It basically teaches us how to eat the right way again, and the way we were intended to. Another excellent book is called Nourishing Traditions by Sally Fallon, which is a wonderful cookbook that includes wise food choices and proper preparation techniques based on culinary customs of our ancestors. Plus, it combines the latest accurate scientific nutritional research. It contains over 700 delicious recipes that will please both gourmet cooks and busy parents. And so this concludes today's topic. I hope you find the information helpful, and I certainly hope that you will be able to incorporate some of these simple techniques into your busy lifestyle. Now let's take another short break, and when I come back, it will be time to wrap up today's show with the food of the week. Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. We are about ready to wrap up today's show, but before I do, I would like to highlight our food of the week, which I chose to be quinoa, which happens to be one of my very favorite grains. But like I mentioned earlier, technically it is not a grain. It is actually a plant related to chard and spinach. And despite the leaves being edible, the sweet, nutty seeds get all the attention. And they are so versatile. They are used in breakfasts, desserts, and everything in between. As far as health benefits, quinoa seeds contain twice the protein of rice. Though it is not the quantity, but the quality of the protein that stands out. Quinoa has all 9 essential amino acids. And amino acids are basically nutritional building blocks that help form protein and muscle. Quinoa is considered a complete protein. If you suffer from migraines, you may want to make quinoa a regular part of your diet because it is rich in both vitamin B2 and magnesium, and 2 nutrients that may help decrease the frequency of these headaches. Quinoa also contains nutrients that boost the immune system. And since it is technically not a grain, it has no gluten, making it typically tolerable for those with celiac disease or grain allergies. You will find quinoa at most supermarkets and health food stores in its whole form or as flour. And as long as you store the grains in an airtight container in a cool, dry cabinet away from sunlight and heat, quinoa should last up to a year or two. Quinoa also becomes in a rainbow of colors, including red and brown, pink, orange, and black. Now, compared with regular quinoa, the red variety is nuttier and contains more fiber in each serving. As far as cooking it, in its unprocessed state, quinoa is coated with saponin, which is a bitter substance. And most quinoa has been desaponized. However, it is still a good idea to rinse it under running water in a fine mesh strainer before cooking it to remove any remaining residue. And the best would be to soak the grains for at least 12 hours in warm water to initiate the germination process and unlock valuable nutrients like we already talked about. And quinoa cooks up fairly quickly. If you want to consume it instead of rice, the water ratio is 2 parts water to 1 part grains. And what you do is you add a little bit of salt and it cooks up fairly quickly, usually within 10 to 15 minutes. And you cook it until all the liquid is absorbed, and then you fluff it up with a fork and you top it with butter. You can also add sautéed vegetables and fresh herbs and make a wonderful side dish that way. You can also try quinoa pudding instead of rice pudding, or you can make tabbouleh salad, substituting the bulgur reed with quinoa. So there are a lot of wonderful recipes available online, and I strongly encourage you to consume this wonderful grain on a frequent basis. There's also quinoa pasta available to change things up a bit. So this wraps up today's show. Thank you so much for listening. And if you have any questions, please call me at 365-2288 at the Evergreen Cottage. And if you would like to improve your health, I will be more than happy to establish a personal wellness protocol for you. And I also invite you to stop by and check out the Whole Foods Pantry and stock up on organic produce and meats and dairy and natural foods to keep yourself and your family in good health. Or stop at the Natural Harvest Food Co-op in Virginia, where they have a great selection also. And for a list of my services, I invite you to visit my website at elywellness.com. And I hope you will join me again next week right here on WELY. And remember, let food be your medicine. Take care of your body, and your body will take care of you. Be well, and I will talk to you again next week.